Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to Fresh from the Field Fridays. This is Ross, the produce boss, Nelson, here hosting this week. And, you know, it's a little bit different this week. It's Dan's birthday. We went ahead and gave him the week off, so I've got a different co-host with me this week. And welcome, Patrick Kelly.
I'm here. Thank you for having me. It's always great to jump on the Friday show with you, man. I feel like when I get to jump on, it's literally giving Dan a day off. That's it so far. This episode and Fresh from the Field Fridays is brought to you by Buck Naked Onions and Sunrays, the snack with impact.
Well, you know, that was our present to him this week. He doesn't have to record. He doesn't have to edit. He gets to enjoy a week to do whatever he wants for his birthday. Because you know what? He's earned it. Yeah. He has earned it.
Some people want Christmas cards and money and all that. Not Dan. We just give him one extra day off of the week. And I know he'll be happy with that, man. It's produce. Who doesn't like having an extra day off to come back to more stuff to do?
I know. Because there's always something to do. Regardless of the day, the produce industry never sleeps, never stops.
No.
We keep feeding the world and getting produce from around the world.
Well,
and speaking of produce from around the world, we have a really special guest today, don't we?
Well, you know, I was going to say it has to do with all seasons, right? I mean, there are four seasons in our world. And, you know, we've got someone that's going to talk about the four seasons. And what I love, though, is that you brought this up a while back and I've never met this gentleman. I've heard about him through some of my clients. They're like, oh my God, he's the best merchandiser. He merchandises our product. And I'm like, I'm going to podcast with this guy. Like in the next couple of weeks. And they're like, really? How do you know him? So I think it's like how the worlds collide is always fun too, man. Like how we go about, you know, seeing some of our guests, getting our guests on. But then knowing the produce industry is so small. Like I said, I've known of this gentleman for years now. Right? But this is my first time being able to be on the line with him. So I'm happy that you got this set up for us.
Well, he and I have been following, I think, one another and, you know, appreciating what each of us do respectively in the produce industry, and fortunate enough to meet Brian Day from Four Seasons Produce, you know, in the last year and a half, we've, you know, run into each other a couple times at shows, and that's what's been great. You know, I don't get to go out and build displays, so I kind of live through what he gets to do out there and all the great work he gets to do. So I love seeing retail and I get out and explore stores. And so let's get Brian Day on here. So
I love that. Let's do that, because you're so right. Because some of those displays that we see take a lot of work, and people think that this stuff happens overnight. Well, yeah, sometimes it does, because these guys are in here overnight making these things happen. But in reality, there's a lot of planning that comes around with that. There's marketing calendars, there's merchandising events, there's meetings, there's planograms. There's so much more than just goes into, I'm going to put six bins of oranges right here, or build this huge Water for All Continental Fresh
or the famous broccoli tree. We are in the holiday season.
Oh my gosh. You're right.
Without planning, you can't accomplish that. So
you're right. Let's get him on, because we're taking all of his thunder at this point, right? Let's get Brian on.
Hey guys, how's it going? It's a pleasure to be here. And it's kind of surreal being on the podcast here. Listen to you guys for years, and thank you for the great intro. And like I said, pleasure to be here. Sounds like you guys knew retail, right? Planning, produce, small world, the whole thing. It just doesn't happen overnight, but so
it does happen overnight, but you have to plan for the overnight. So.
Exactly. Early morning hours, it's not for everybody, right, man? But at the end of the day, like you said, we're feeding a good product. A healthy product to the consumers, and kind of having fun, when we do it, right? Keep it fun, keep it fresh.
That's the goal,
right?
I mean, you know what's funny, Brian, is I had someone talk to me a while back, and this is not like to down the retailers, but it's like someone said to me one time, they're like, did you ever notice there's a health food section in the store that's like one aisle, and it's all like the stuff you need to be healthy? And they were like, what does that say about the rest of the store? Like, you know what I mean? And I'm just like, I laugh sometimes at that, because when you walk into the fresh produce department, like, it doesn't say healthy, fresh lifestyle, right? It's like, no, it's fresh produce. Like, we know the added benefits of fresh produce versus the supplements that are in those supplement aisles, right? We're not downing it, but there's every context, every item has their own space and spot in a retail store, right?
Yep, for sure. For sure, man. spot on there.
I love it, man. Ross, so let's talk about the holiday season.
We have
right?
to go in a little bit to, I think, the story about today, because
that's true.
We had this all planned out, and just like produce and retail, things happen. You have to adjust schedules. Someone calls out, you know, now you got your day planned out. You've got your cart filled up for someone to do the wet wall, and then they show, you know, they don't call or show up, and you're like, crap, now I got to go do this. So, I mean, we were a little bit delayed. We were glad you were able to make it work for us today, but just like in real life, you know, things happen, and in the produce industry, there's always something going on, and we adapt and work through it. So,
yeah, man. Guys, yeah, and thanks for taking the little later meeting here. You can't never tell when a case is going to go down while you're in the middle of doing something, and then the fire alarm goes off for a half hour. So, perfect storm, you know what I'm saying? But I'm here. We're back up and running, and it's hustling and bustling down there.
Did you put the fire out?
Did you put it out yourself?
It wasn't even a fire. It was something they're remodeling some of the offices in the back here, and something with dust set it off.
Oh, wow. And,
so it's raining here too, which is the trifecta, right? So everyone's standing out in the rain. Just, it's amazing though, right? Because you meet different people, you talk to different people. I'm from Pennsylvania, and I'm up here in Ithaca, New York now. And just, it's a great time to just kind of meet people and just kind of joke about everything you're going through. And, quite honestly, sell product when you're out there from when they come in and see this giant tangerine display. So they got to find out what the business is. And,
I love that too, Brian, because you said it, you know, it was, if I'm wrong, tell me, but I believe you said it's an autumn honey, tangerine display.
Yes, sir.
So, which is great. You know, that's Noble Citrus right there. I know Noble very well. Noble's actually a sponsor of the podcast as well. So that's why I always say when I was talking to Ross before you came on, it's like, I have many of my clients that speak about what you've done, you know, your merchandising and how you do things. So it's always great. Like you were in the middle of an autumn honey tangerine, display. And as I sat there, and just was talking to the Noble boys this morning. So I always say it's awesome because you get to see where some of your friend's product goes. And then we get to enjoy and eating those products together. Right. It's not just, I heard it was in India. I heard it was in New York. No, we actually got to see it, touch it, and eat it. Right. So yeah. I think that's really cool.
Yeah, man, for sure, dude. And it is an amazing piece of fruit. We just got them in this weekend, first shot. And I'll be doing those displays all week this week. And it's just an awesome fruit. Great company. I absolutely fell. This is our first time taking a shot with them, and fell in love with the Juicy Crunch last year. And saw these coming out, and nice holiday type little accents on the boxes for autumn honeys. And I just all over it. I just like this kind of merchandising. It's Christmassy, tied in poinsettias, some Christmas trees. It came out sharp, and you know, it's a showpiece when consumer walks into the door and have to buy product, right? They smell that citrus on those fresh cuts and that aroma, and just the visual, it really sells. So
that's what it's all about. If you're walking into the store and it's merchandised right, I mean, you're going to get that incremental sales in the basket. Otherwise, if it's unimpressive, they're just going off their list. You know, it's the lighting displays. It's what draws them over. They're like, wow, look at this display. I have to go check it out. I mean, it's merchandised. It looks beautiful. I'm going to go check it out. I mean, getting them over there is 90% of the battle. And then it's just 10% to get it in the basket from there. So,
yeah, man. And I believe off list, I don't know what the studies are versus impulse versus list are, but I'd say 75-80% of produce is impulse, right?
Oh, yeah.
So people come in, they have their cucumbers, they have their potatoes, whatever, but you put, you strategically position displays in areas and high traffic areas, clean, neat, uniform, buy me displays. I mean, that's what it's about. People buy with their eyes, right? Retail is detail, however you want to call it. It's just, sometimes these, displays, what we're building, all the team, whole merchandising team, just, consumers have a hard time walking past them because there's something true. You're like, what's up?
Yeah. That's so true, Brian, because, you know, again, Ross and I were talking about this because I live in the land of Publix down here. That's what I tell everybody, like, and I live in Florida. So our displays are completely different than what you would see up north. Like, we are, yes, we still have the Christmas displays, right? But if you were to come down here, depending on the area that you're in too, you might see very little like Christmas display type stuff and more, I would say, organizational citrus displays, right? Because they might have end caps that have citrus on them, or maybe some of the bags have holiday print on them. The whole department, though, is not represented around just the holiday, right? It's different during Thanksgiving because obviously pumpkins and fall and gourds and squashes and all of those things. But sometimes you're right. That autumn honey display, right, with poinsettias around it, right? And then you've got the cinnamon broomsticks out there. You can make it.
Cinnamon pine cones. Don't forget those, man.
People just go directly to it, right? Versus, again, if you're in like South Miami right now, I doubt they're having a full Santa Claus, you know, out there. Even at my Walmarts right now, I remember living in Connecticut, they would have full Santa people out in Santa suits and all this type of stuff. You don't see that in Florida. There's nobody getting in a Santa outfit right now at 86 degrees, right? So
maybe a Santa outfit with shorts on and a t-shirt, not a surfer
Santa, like, you know what I mean? Like, but it's so true, right? So merchandising as a whole, when we think about the produce and supply chain industry, it's very unique because the demographics across our entire country is so different, right? No. From your neck of the woods to mine, to California, to the Midwest, right? Everybody's got a different sense of merchandising and what's happening. And it is the holiday season right now.
It is
legitimately the most wonderful time of the year, guys. I mean, for us, we're pulling our hair out, but I mean, you know what I mean?
Think of all the, you know, fruit baskets, the nut trays, the milk nuts. I mean, I love going into the stores this time of year because, you know, floral usually has a huge presence as you're going into the store, from the evergreens to the poinsettias to the bouquets to everything. I mean, it's just, if you're not getting it out there in front of the customers, you're going to miss that sale. So now's the time where to shine, get it out there, make sure the department's good, merchandise well, and just let that be the sales basket driver for your department in the store. So,
Yeah, man, totally.
When they're putting more produce and floral in their basket, they're going to buy more throughout the store. So if you can lead off that way and get them sold there, then you just know that basket's going to continue to build throughout the store.
Right on, man. Set the tone for the shopping experience, right? Let's take the shopping trip out of the vernacular, right? But to create that shopping experience and, merchandising and produce start that off, right? I mean, the shopping experience starts in the produce aisle.
With that same note, I mean, what are some things that you're kind of telling your customers and, you know, for those listening, what are some tools and tricks that will help them get some more sales for the next few weeks and through the remainder of the year?
You know what, man? I think you hit it right on the head. I mean, now's the perfect time for fruit baskets, veg trays, and anything that goes into a veg tray, right? Cucumbers, celery, baby carrots, peppers, dips. There's a lot of people are having parties, weekend parties, holiday parties. To your point again, floral, I think floral is a huge sales boost, right? Between the trees, between poinsettias, between wreaths, embossed tins, floral arrangements. I think that is in a lot of stores, a lot of areas, so an untapped source of sales. For some stores. So, and it does surprisingly well, and it's relatively no shrink, right? I mean, it's not like a head of romaine out on a wet rack. It's a wreath or a 3 to 4 foot Christmas tree that sits on your floor or sits outside on a giant wooden rack. But again, your nut trays, baking nuts, fruit, we're starting to get into the heavy citrus piece, right? So navels are out. Tangerines, we talked about autumn honeys already, so they're out. We have a lot of the great buck citrus coming, right? Buddha hands, mandarin quats, lime quats, finger limes, variegated lemons, all that fun stuff. Blood oranges coming, caras, pomelo is just amazing fruit that's out there. It's one of the best times of year for produce in the sense of how much variety is out there, right? Because you're coming out of the fall harvest and you have all your new crop apples and you have all your new crop pears and now you're in the new crop citrus. So you have like a triple threat of fruit, right? And coming out of a vegetable heavy holiday, being Thanksgiving, fruit is the main is the main attraction in some stores, right? I mean, most stores that I help merchandise in, simply because it's sweet, it's bright. Those cold winter days are cleaned up and shined up by some bright navel oranges or tangerines or grapefruit or whatever the commodity may be. So, yeah.
Well, talking about, you know, vegetables in your vegetable tray, something kind of came to mind is peppers. You talked about peppers. Are you seeing more people transition to like mini peppers so that they're not having to cut them up and do, you know, the pepper slices where they can just take a mini pepper, use that for your tray, you know, because it's convenient and easy? What are you seeing? Yeah, man.
For sure, dude. Yeah, that's a good point. Yes. But we still see some of the old traditionals grabbing a red and a green pepper and cutting them up themselves. But yeah, that is an item, the mini pepper packs that have really taken off in all the stores. I mean, we service stores from Maine to Ohio down to Tennessee. And to Patrick's point, every area is different. And that's what makes this business so fun, right?
Oh,
that's
what
makes my job so fun is I get to see all these trading areas and be in all these demographics and whatever. But while the demographic may change, some of those core items stay the same. And there are a lot of items that have gained traction, items and actually commodities and varieties within commodities that have gained traction. And mini sweet peppers are indeed one. Snacking tomatoes, that full array of snacking tomatoes is another one. There are so many varieties of snacking tomatoes out there.
Is hummus kind of replacing dips these days? Are you seeing that kind of encroach?
Yeah. I mean, you still see dips and dressings and trays. You still see the old blue cheese. You still see ranch.
Gotta have ranch. Gotta have ranch.
That's right, man, for sure. But yeah, we're seeing more hummus, roasted garlic, regular hummus. There are so many different flavors of hummus. They have a beautiful hummus here, Ithaca hummus. That is just amazing. Rosemary and lemon. It's just amazing. So
I think it's taken over the department a little bit more too, because I mean, 100. I'll be real. I love that, you know, the ranch thing, but I'm almost over ranch. Like, you know, I mean, yeah. I, you know, all those ranch people are out there. I'm like, oh my God, he said it. But it's, I mean, I'm to the point now where, you know, diversity is king. And I'm just like, I'm to the point where it's like, we can put ranch on anything because that's what we've been used to our whole lives. Right. We put it on ranch. I didn't even understand people doing ranch on pizza. And then like, I'm like, you know, 20 years into my, you know, with my wife and I'm like, yeah, you got the ranch for the pizza. Like you can put ranch on anything at this point. Right. But I think that like that with hummus, it gives a little bit of diversity to your snack or to your meal. Right. Cause if you are having carrots, you go for maybe the roasted garlic and red pepper. Right. Or, you know, if you're having cucumbers, you could switch it up a little bit and it does, it's not just ranch and cucumbers anymore. It's actually, that's a small little meal, right?
We do hummus at our house just for the simple fact that my wife and kids have a dairy allergy. So hummus is a little bit more friendly and a little bit of a
tastes better too.
Better, healthier options. So I think people are making, you know, as you're making decisions for your holiday, you're like, yeah, I want to have that extra two or three cookies. So let me use hummus instead of ranch. Maybe that'll help offset some of my
throughout the holiday. If you're on Weight Watchers, like I know a lot of people on Weight Watchers, right? And points wise, right? Obviously the cucumbers, the fruits and vegetables are a lot of 0 points. You add ranch in there sometimes and it's like, it skyrockets your points up. And then you're sitting there going, well, there goes that snack idea. And you might put it away and just go for something else, right? Not knowing that you can have that hummus or, you know, you need the actual protein in that because it is a bean, right? Like there's things that we just, if you know, you know, but again, a lot of our consumers that are out there, they don't know and they buy off their eyes and they buy off, oh, I had this before. I tasted that before. That's what I'm going to eat next time and the next time until it isn't consistent anymore. Right, Brian?
Right. No, totally. And you guys hit it right on too. I mean, people want diversity now. People want to try new things. You talk about Patrick, the 20 years of eating ranch, right? I mean, there are so many options out there of just good food, right? And healthy food. And people want to get away from or want to are branching out and trying new things, right? Those ranch people are trying hummus now. We see that not just in the value-added categories or the dips and spreads or whatever, but we're seeing that actually in commodity too, right? So yeah, again, people's willingness to try something new, be it a snacking, be it in a dish or a meal or something, that's where some of the non-staple items are gaining some traction. And these new items that are hitting our shelves and being grown, that's where a lot of the traction's happening, right? Like, take, I mean, who would have thought dragon fruit 5 years ago would be where it is now, right? Kale 10 years ago, it's kale's yeah. still strong, right? I mean, avocados, yeah. I mean, these things had tiny little 14 by 18 baskets in the back of an aisle, and some people didn't even carry them. Now we're seeing 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 cases of dragon fruit on a display,
yeah.
scooping mixes and spoons wrapped around them. And it's really cool to see. And, you know, this is 35 years for me in retail, 1988. So, it's, yeah, man, it's
to salute you.
I guess I dated myself, but no, it's just so cool, man, to see so many things of that. So many that retail's changed, right? I mean, yeah. retail changes every year, and from what it was, you know, back 35 years ago to what it is now, it's been amazing to see. It's been amazing to be a part of this industry, man. It's just, I would not want to be in any other industry. It's just so, the camaraderie in this industry is one thing, but things that we're doing and feeding healthy food and making people have a great time at a grocery store, right? So yeah, how do we do that? It's just totally fun, man. It's just really totally fun.
Well, let's do this, Brian. Yeah. Let's take a quick break. We're going to hear from one of our sponsors, and then we'll be right back, and we're going to finish up this little holiday edition show. So we'll be right back. Okay.
I love grapes.
Whoa, what's this?
Dude, that's a snack with impact.
Wait, what?
You know, Sunraise. They are the snack with impact. All their grapes and mandarins are certified, sustainably grown, so you know the planet and people are being taken care of. And they make a donation to save the children with every package packed so kids can thrive around the world.
No way. So every time I have Sunraise grape or mandarin, I'm making the world a better place?
Duh. That's why they call it the snack with impact.
Move over, pumpkin spice. It's pomelo season. Florida Starburst pomelos are sweeter, bigger, and perfectly ripe for a limited time. Enormously luscious, red, juicy, and the perfect sweet fall treat. Get yours in store today. Visit noblecitrus.com to find a store near you.
Everyone, we have an APB out on a buck naked onion. This onion is produced by Owyhee Produce, so we have to be on the lookout. Whether you're a retailer, food service distributor, or a wholesaler, this onion is whole, it's hearted, and it's buck naked, everyone. To all you civilians out there, please, let's catch this buck naked onion.
I love grapes.
Whoa, what's this?
Dude, that's a snack with impact.
Wait, what?
You know, Sunraise. They are the snack with impact. All their grapes and mandarins are certified, sustainably grown, so you know the planet and people are being taken care of. And they make a donation to save the children with every package packed so kids can thrive around the world.
No way. So every time I have Sunraise grape or mandarin, I'm making the world a better place?
Duh. That's why they call it the snack with impact.
All right. It's always great to hear from the wonderful Noble sponsor. We've been talking a lot about their products today, from the tangerines to what you just saw, the Pumelo Starburst. You know, Patrick, you got some stuff coming in Florida right there. I mean,
you
got a lot being grown, a lot being going on, even though a hurricane came through earlier this year. You know, the state has remained strong in producing some great fresh produce.
I mean, listen, there's always going to be Mother Nature. If you listen to our other show, The History of Fresh Produce, you know, there's a lot that happens, you know, dating back to the beginning of time when civilizations first started cultivating, you know, fresh produce. And even back to the hunter and gathering days, you know, when there was long winters, it would be hard for them to gather berries, you know, things like that. When there was heavy storms, you know, floods would then take away some of the crops, right?
Remember when
feast and famine, right? There's so much that happens within produce and Mother Nature, you know, really will say it all on what happens to it, right?
I mean, the industry is resilient. I remember when I started in the industry, there was times where a lot more products were seasonal. You didn't get strawberries for a time. You didn't get this from that. And I mean, you know, our guest, Brian Day, I'm sure, you know, he dated himself a little bit, but he can
back in allude into,
I remember, you know, strawberries weren't even in clamshells when I first started in Provo. They came in flats and
I remember. Seasonal.
I remember having to cut it in half. You put the net over it and put it out for sale and try to keep the customers from digging through it and destroying it, you know, but it has really changed. And
produce has come a long way, man. I mean, my parents, you know, my mom used to work at farmers markets as, you know, when I was a kid in California, my dad worked at grocery stores. My grandmother was a grocery store produce manager. And it's so funny because from the times when we saw today, it didn't matter what a piece of fruit looked like. It mattered that we wanted a piece of fruit. It didn't have to be the best looking orange. I mean, I grew up in a world where oranges weren't orange, right? They were off colored. They were green. They were brown, right? Depending on where you got them from, depending on what country you visited, right? I mean, even to this day, I mean, when I go to the Dominican and you grab oranges, you know, in the store, they got stuff from Chile. They got stuff from South Africa. But if you go pick an orange in Florida, I mean, it's not going to look the best looking orange. It's got a lot of cosmetic damage. But the interior is what matters. And the same thing with some of the items that you were just talking about, like strawberries and all this. It was so hard to keep the department clean that, you know, we've gone to a world of now it's like everything has to look perfect in the produce department when it's not true. Like some of the ugliest things are the most beautiful things. I mean, Brian talked about the Buddhist hand earlier and most people don't even know what that is, but it's the most ugliest looking lemon looking thing you'll ever see in your life. But it's amazing, right? And I think that some people just don't understand it. They think, oh, something's wrong with it. Oh, you know, this berry or this cucumber, or why is it tint green? Or it's like, what do you mean? It's Mother Nature. Like
you talk about how things change. I remember growing up, we used to always get boxes of Florida citrus, and
we would
look forward to that every year. You get like a 20-pound box in the mail of oranges, grapefruit, and whatever. And it was always like, that's what you look forward to. Now you can go to the grocery store, and whether you get it from California or from Florida,
right?
You know, you can get it from all over the world. You just got to look at the sticker and see where it's at. You know,
if you travel up to Buffalo and you want to cross the border, you can get Egyptian citrus, which they still wrap in tissue paper, right? And they're selling up on the markets in Canada. I mean, you can get so many different things. And it's crazy, right? I mean, the things that we've gone into today. But let's get our guest back on, Brian, so we can hear a little bit more, because he's probably like, well, you guys, cut me back in. Cut me back in. I want in on this conversation, right? Like,
yeah. No, man. I love listening to you guys. And you know what, though, Patrick? You bring up a good point, man. It's just, it's when you're talking about perfect produce, right? Like, what is perfect produce? Sometimes the best looking produce, like that immaculate looking tomato that's red and just no shoulders, nothing on it. It might not taste as good as one with a cat eye. It's people, the whole imperfect produce thing. I see it all the time. It's just like, sometimes it's difficult to educate people on, like, some of the tangerines down here have that greenish hue to them. Right. And they're not like a bright Satsuma with orange that is clean color all around. But it eats great. Right. But that's where the fun for me, at least, happens. Right. Because then now you get to educate the consumer. Now you have their attention. Now you're actually teaching them something that they can carry on for another commodity, or they can tell their friend or neighbor or some of their family to be like, listen, this tangerine, it has a little bit of greening on it, a little bit of wind scarring on it, whatever, but it eats fantastic. It doesn't have to look perfect to eat perfect, right?
It doesn't. So, no.
There's a huge opportunity, I think, in our industry, man, right? So it's educating people on another one is grapes, right? How the amber, how grapes amber up, and those sugars come to clerks now. I mean, some clerks are like, these are going bad, and they're not going bad. I said that this is when it's when that grape is going to be eat at its sweetest, right?
Yes.
And that nice golden brown amber comes on. That's when the best taste in grapes. That's when you sample. That's when you have consumer engagement. That's when you teach both clerks and consumers, right? I mean, that this grape is going to eat at its high at its best because the sugars are at its highest. So
everybody's got to know a little bit of education.
I mean, for sure,
right? I mean, it's funny because I mean, years ago, I mean, when I was living in California, I remember when the Sumo Tangerine first came out by SunTreat, right? They were a completely different company from what they are today, different ownership, different investments. And I remember always going down to SunTreat in Lindsay, and I would go buy a box of Sumos, and I would pay my $30-something for it because I wanted it. And then you go all the way till today. It's funny because I was in the Publix, I think it was like 2 years ago. And this lady was like, I'm not going to buy that, you know, tangerine. I heard her. And I'm like the worst person with you. If I hear you say that in like stores, I'm like, hey, how are you? Like, I'll start selling for the produce manager. But I told him, I said, oh my God, this is one of my favorite tangerines next to the Juicy Crunch, right? I like, there's a battle between those. And the lady was like, well, look at it. And I was like, I know, doesn't it remind you of your great grandfather's nose? And she starts like hysterically laughing. And I go, think about it. I sometimes say the more bumpier and uglier, I said, the better this one's going to be. And she was kind of looking at me and I said, because, you know, the Sumo's got that kind of bottle cap on the top. And I sometimes like really look at that. And I was like, the better the of my bottle cap, I'm always like, the better the piece of fruit's going to be inside, right? Sometimes sure. The uglier it is, I'm like, I sometimes associate that with it being a better piece of fruit, because when these things came out, they were ugly. They were fat. Yeah. They didn't look like a sumo wrestler, right? You know, and, you know, compared to, you know, what you see out there, we just weren't used to it. And I literally looked at this lady and I said, this will be one of the best tangerines that you ever buy. And I go, trust me, do it. And she does. And she grabbed the bag. And it's funny. So I'm in the checkout and I catch eye contact with her. Like,
make sure right she didn't there. Just drop it somewhere in the store.
She pulled up the bag and was like, off my back. Yeah. She was like, I got it. She's like, I got it. I was just like, you go.
That's awesome.
Produce manager's name was Steve at the time. He's like, bro, he's like, you want to work here? He's like, what's up, man? He's like, you're selling more than my guys are selling. And I'm like, I'm in produce. Everybody matters to me, you know?
Awesome. Mm-hmm. Awesome story, dude. That's an awesome story.
It's holiday time. You know, we're kind of talking about how the year has been, Brian. You know, we had a little bit of that as we were talking about today's podcast. You know, what are some things that have benefited you or you've seen in trends and stuff this year? You know, what are some things you dated yourself? I'm not going back there, but like, what are some things that you really are excited about or have excited you the most this year?
I guess it started out in January. I know Noble's a sponsor of this, but I think the Juicy Crunch for me was the best eating fruit of the year, right? I think hands down, it was just an amazing piece of fruit. Yeah, that kicked off the year strong for me. I try to push a category that I'm very fond of, is that's the pear category, right? I think there is so much upside to where the pear category is. Now is National Pear Month, right? December is National Pear Month. This past Saturday was National Pear Day. I am a pear geek through and through. I think it's so, there's so much upside to it, right? I don't think that retailers put an emphasis on pears. I think it's sometimes looked at as an old school fruit or whatever, but it is just, it's a beautiful aromatic vintage fruit that is just, I think, untapped, right? So
you don't really
doing larger displays of pears, teaching consumers about pears. There was a new pear out this year in the pear category. A couple of years now, called the happy pear one.
Yeah, man, they
rock, man, right? So
I've got a bag in my fridge right now. I'm trying to make it last.
That's fantastic, man. But no, so I think pears too. I think we're still seeing strong sales in the snacking category. So with so many more varieties coming out, I don't see any slowdown in that. I see increases in Brussels sprouts. I see increases in value added and cuts. Quick grab and go remains on the rise. Cut fruit programs, especially in the summertime, are a major thing out east here. Rolling with the seasonal stuff, right? Rolling with the seasonal merchandising and building displays, setting up our retailers for success, and you know, helping others succeed in fresh. I mean, that's what we at Four Seasons do. So, it was an exciting year, man. Going back all the way to the Juicy Crunch to, you know, doing with pears and cherries in the spring, cherries in the spring and summer, and stone fruit in the summer. And it's, you know, every year you say, oh, it's every season I say it's my favorite season. I keep saying that. And I get like, well, last time we talked, you said winter is your favorite season. Well, it's not winter anymore. It's spring. So spring is my favorite season.
Spring is my favorite.
Right. Seriously, dude. Right.
Do get four seasons where our buddy down there in Florida, I mean, he gets maybe like one and a half seasons, maybe two.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like 36 degrees the other day, but I still wore shorts because it set as high as a 76 at the end of the day. Like, I'm still going to get that part of it. But I mean, it is true, man. I mean, I think I love the fact that it's like every season's your favorite season because each season comes with something new, comes with something different, you know? And I agree with that.
It keeps it fresh. It keeps it rotating. So you're not getting burned out on something, you know, during night. And I love your point about pears. You don't really see pears promoted like they used to be, you know, back in the department. They're not promoted. They're not, I think... we need to get the younger generation, I think, excited again about pears because it is a great piece of fruit.
It is. For sure.
when you get it just right, oh man, there's nothing like a good fresh pear. I mean, it's just got that crunch at times, the flavor, the softness, whether you want it more on a red one or a Bosque or a Bartlett or D'Anjou, there's all sorts of things.
It's funny is like, you know, you said that it's like the pear game. Like I've been trying to talk to USA Pears about that too, because they're, you know, and I'm not trying to bring up like a touchy subject, but it's like, sometimes they don't have the dollars to promote or market, but then that's also why consumers don't know what's going on in that industry. Like I had to like ask a bunch of, when do pears come out? Where's the Anjou pear out? When's this coming out? Brian, I will tell you, and go ahead, laugh at me, everyone. But even as a produce guy, I would never buy pears. Because like I would see them green and I'd be that guy that's biting into a green pear and I'd be like, man, this thing's not ready yet. And then I finally stumbled across this bag that gave me instructions. It was like, it literally was like, buy this pear now. And it was all green. And then it gave a diagram on the back, 1 day, 3 days, 5 days. I looked at my wife. I was like, I've been doing this wrong for 22 years, you know, but it that's education though, too.
Sure.
It's like, how do we buy the perfect pear? How do we pick the perfect watermelon? How do we pick the perfect Fuyu persimmon, right? And a lot of times, even as produce people, we don't know because we might be in the citrus category, the grape category, and we know how to pick those items, right?
Yeah.
But I literally bought more pears this year than I have in any other year of my life for the fact of that bag right there. I was like, oh my gosh. And my wife's sitting there going, oh, you have more pears in the house. They're completely green. I was like, give it a couple of days. Then I'm sitting there and you start smelling the aroma of pears throughout your house. My wife's like, holy cow, pears are ready. I was like, pears are ready to be eaten.
Yeah, like when I bought that bag, it's like you put two on the counter. When you eat one or two, you get another two out and you just let them continually rotate. So,
but we don't know, right? Yeah. We don't know until we don't know.
And that's the perfect point. What you talked about is it wasn't until you got the information and education, they're like, oh, I've been doing it wrong
this whole time.
Now that you know how to really handle and properly take care of the pear when you get it to your house, now you're like, oh, I'm not wasting them. I'm not getting that bad experience. Yes. I'm getting the experience that I should be getting because now I have the knowledge and education.
Same thing with one, you know, palm, you know, I say palm wonderful, but those pomegranates, right? It has a palm wonderful pomegranates, how to take out the arils, right? I even did some videos on it because I was like, man, I was like, now I get it. And someone was even like, you got to slurp that juice. Don't let that juice fall out of the pomegranate. And I'm like, oh, I was like, oh, okay. All right. Like, all right. Like I'm the produce guy and I'm getting yelled at by consumers telling me what to do sometimes, but it's so true. And even going back to one of my new favorites, and I got to bring up one of these displays, Brian, you crushed a Water for All display this year for the Continental Fresh, you know, team. You know, that's one thing that I love seeing is like when you put your mind to it, some of these displays and things that you put together for in these grocery stores. They're amazing. And, you know, even like a cause like Water for All, like every box that you're putting out there, a penny is going back to a region in the Dominican Republic when those boxes get sold. And so there's cause marketing behind this, right? Inside of this merchandising, we're selling healthy fruits and we're selling darn good fruit too. And vegetables. They're freaking good, man. This is what we love.
I mean, dude, totally. And that's another piece too. And I think in society today is, well, even from the grocery standpoint, people want to know where their food is grown and people want to feel good about what they buy, right? And telling that story, we hear it all the time in seminars and podcasts or whatever, but it is so true, man, right? Telling a story on where, how this, it's, talk about the Water for All program, how that penny, what it means to somebody else, right? A penny to you and I is a penny, right? But a penny to someone else means actual water, right? Water systems for something that you and I take for granted. And it is just, it's so powerful. And that is another thing that I enjoy personally is telling the story through merchandising, right? It could be produce theater. It could be large displays. It could be a fair trade avocado promotion that we're doing, but anything we're doing, we tell a story, right? So telling point of sale material is great for that. In-store demos, talking about the program itself, talking about the message itself, talking about, we'll use another one for Equal Exchange has the ready cycle little 84 count avocados, right? So they want to use the whole tree, utilize the whole tree program, right? You don't want just your 36s and your 48s and your 60s and 70s. Those farmers need to capture that money. All right. Small farmers need to capture that money in every possible avocado. So it's marketed as an 84 count ready cycle package. I mean, telling the whole story, especially with the stores that I deal in, man, they love hearing the story. They love being part of the story. And these food co-ops and natural food stores all up and down the East Coast that we service, they absolutely, this is a real thing to them, right? It's not just selling produce, it's telling a story. And that's, again, you brought up the Water for All, man, that just kind of triggered in my head because that was super powerful, man. And what they're doing there, that is an awesome message. That is an awesome thing that they're doing. And being able to tell that in stores and tell them what's beyond the mango, right? What is beyond the mango? What is that blue box? What is that drop on the hat or on the side of the box mean? What does Water for All mean? And when you actually get to tell them and in customer engagement, because that's one thing that we lost in COVID, I think, is a lot of customer engagement, right? But now, 4 years, 5 years later, the engagement piece, consumers want to be engaged and consumers want to learn and consumers want to hear what you're selling, why you're selling it, where it's coming from, who grows it. And consumers are interested in hearing that kind of stuff. So being able to tell the Water for All story or the fair trade story or whatever story that you're telling, that is a special part, man, of my job. And, something that I really thoroughly enjoy and something that I really, I'm proud to be able to do.
Well, and you brought up a great point there. We're getting here towards the end. So one of my last questions for you will be, you know, all these displays, you talked about demos and all of that. What kind of planning do you have to go into with these, you know, displays and everything you're going to do? Getting the engagement back, obviously, to do a demo takes a lot of planning and thought process and getting that coordinated. Who's going to do it, you know, outside companies and stuff. But what all goes into there to get this done?
And would you recommend companies reaching out to do that? So twofold question.
Sure. So Ross, I'll answer your question first. So the planning piece. Yeah, planning is super important. You guys talked about it at the beginning of the podcast here, man. So what we do and stuff that we do and the displays that are built all involved a lot of planning. And it's not just one person. Right. You're talking with planning with the store, collaboration with the produce managers, the produce team, the store directors, getting spot in the store where that's going to go. Then visualizing it in your mind, the be there before you get there type attitude. Right. I'm going to be here in front of this tangerine display. How is it going to look? What am I going to tie in? This is weeks. I've been talking autumn honeys now literally for 6 weeks. You can call the Four Seasons buyer and he'll tell you the same thing. I've been so excited for this day, for this week to be able to promote this product, right? But then coordinating with the buyer, coordinates with the actual grower, packer, shipper. You're talking price point, you're talking placement, you're talking display size. Is there sampling? I love to sample. When I build, I engage. When I build, I sample. I carry a produce knife on me at all times. I'll be the first one to cut a piece of fruit for somebody. But there is so much planning. It's not just, well, I'm going to order 30 cases of autumn honeys and they're going to go to the store and we're going to do it. No, it's not how it goes. It's just there's days, weeks, and in some cases, man, months of planning. So we did a cherry display in last January, the end of June. We created kind of like a movie theater type thing, right? So produce theater inside of a store was literally a theater. We had red carpets, we had movie stanchions, we had a popcorn stand with cherries in it. We created like fun little signs like Cherry Potter and the Sorcerer Stone Pit. I mean, Pitt had a cherry pit instead of Stephen King's It. Really fun stuff. We started planning that in February and we actually pulled it off at the end of June. So that's in some cases how some of these big events, sampling events, that's how long these things take shape. It is not just an overnight. There are spot times when you're in a spot by, if we get a spot by on a 48 Naval or whatever, that's, we can come in and, sell cheap and do satellite one-off displays, but plan events like what we're doing here and what we're doing this week. And when we do stuff like broccoli trees, that's planning. That's months of planning. So we started planning for broccoli trees in end of September and they're starting out this week here. So look for some pictures there, but there is a lot of planning. It's not just a week, month. It's up to, in some cases, months away.
Yeah, I don't imagine you're going to pop up a movie theater overnight. So,
yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's fun stuff, though, man, because it's just fun stuff. It's just, having fun selling produce, telling a story and engaging the customer and making them feel like they want to buy something, man. Right.
That's also an investment on the retailer to go into that, to put that much work into it. And
yeah,
but at the end of the day, to get the customer's reactions, to get customers to stop, to take pictures of it. I mean, how many pictures of that movie theater went over social media and people are like, oh, I got to go into that store to go check it out. I got to go look at that display. Yeah. So it's word of mouth into the community about why they want to go to that retailer.
Yes.
Things that they're doing to stand out compared to a competitor down the street who is not investing in their store in the same manner. So
100%.
I think it's cool.
It's funny, dude. As we talk about merchandising too, like we know like the big sports people right now is Dick's Sporting Goods. And it's crazy because in Tampa, they open another Dick's Sporting Goods and people are like, oh my God, why is Dick's opening another sporting goods? Boom, boom, boom. Well, they made the Dick's Sporting Goods field. So now when you're shopping at the mall, they took a part of the parking lot out and they made a 60-yard field. One side has a football post on it. It's got a little dugout in it. And it is literally so parents can go shopping at Dick's, right? Or in the mall, they can drop their kids off and these kids can run around like chickens with their heads cut off because that's for some reason when we take our kids to the mall or any store, they just want to go buck crazy, right? But I thought about this and I started seeing more targeted ads on Hulu and Netflix, and all this different stuff in my area. And I finally told my wife, I said, I went. She's like, what? I was like, I went to the new Dick's. And she's like, how is it? I'm like, it's amazing. I was like, you should have seen the field. They had soccer balls out for everybody. They had footballs, right? There was so much there. And then they had employees outside that were monitoring it. So it wasn't like a free-for-all just park. It was, hey, once so many 30 kids get outside, that was the max capacity. You had to wait. But it literally made it to where it was an environment to where parents could shop, do what they needed to do. And I guarantee you, yes, the investment in that field hasn't fully taken over yet, but I will tell you the investment there is keeping people in the stores longer. It's having kids say, oh, I want to get a new football. Oh, I need this. And it's creating an experience to purchase more, right? To add more to the cart, which is what we do in produce, right? We want to try and get you to go beyond your list of things that you're actually looking for. So I love that kind of stuff. I do. I really do.
Totally. Yeah, man.
I go to the store. I don't want someone hiding stocking my shelves.
Nope.
Agreed. And Patrick, to answer the second part of that question there, man. So as a grower, packer, shipper should reach out to retailers, I would say, yeah, man. I mean, we work with some great vendors, man. We have a solid relationship. This business is all about relationships. Like Joe Estes said in your podcast last week, it really is. And we have some great vendors that we work with, and we're set up on a kind of a calendar, right? We're planning actually now display promotional activity through May, right? Talk about planning, right? We're in December, but and with that becomes, you know, what are we going to do? What are the parameters? What does the pricing look like? What does the crop look like? How many stores can you get on board? Are we going to do sampling? Is there going to be live demos, passive demos? What social media is behind it? Yeah, man, it goes far above taking a few boxes of cucumbers off the truck back in the day and just putting them on the thing. It's a cool thing. I would encourage grower, packer, shippers to reach out to retailers and wholesalers talk about what kind of promotional opportunities that they can get by and promote the consumption of more fresh fruits and vegetables, man.
I like it.
Spillover displays are great, but you know, if you could get a nice big display, there's nothing better than that. So
creating
the theater, to your point. Not a big, maybe not a real theater. I don't think everybody can do that, but creating theater in your department is going to help sell more.
Creating something that most don't have. I mean, that's why we get so wowed when we go into certain stores and we're just like, oh my gosh, this is crazy because this is in here, you know? And I remember the first time, you know, going into a store up in Canada and seeing some of those Equifruit displays, you know, it was interesting because before I would be used to only seeing Chiquita or Dole and having like a chimpanzee swinging from the, you know, right. You would see these old displays. And then all of a sudden it's like you saw a shark and you'd press a button and it would literally be like, it would start telling you about these bananas. And I was like, well, this is way different than anything I've ever experienced. So it made me be like a super fan. I got to the point where I was like, this is better than most. Why would I not support these people when I'm going in and I'm learning about their products, their supply chain? It helps me as a whole. And I haven't ran into one consumer that says, I don't care where my food comes from. I've not run into one who has said that to me. Ah, who cares? Wherever it comes from, I believe in it. No. They're like, where does it come from? What's it doing? Pesticides, right? Like,
and that's where I like two retailers, you know, kind of stand out when you talked about animatronics and stuff is like Stu Leonard's and Jungle Gyms.
Yeah.
They both really put a lot of emphasis and thought into engagement throughout the store. I mean, from, you know, Jungle Gyms where they've got the tanks and they fillet the fish right then and there and the different animatronics in the stores going on to Stu Leonard's with everything that they have, you know, with the stuff going on through the store and samples. Yeah. And I mean, it's that whole shopping experience. It's just incredible. And you're like, get your kids, the kids are wild. And you're like, okay, I can bring them back here and it's going to be a great shopping experience.
Yep.
Totally. And you know what, displays, these large displays that people see, man, they don't have to be, a display does not have to be large to be impactful, right? A display does not have to be large to be impactful. All it needs is to leave a memory, right? Some of the smallest displays I've ever worked with have been from a growth or percentage or a case mover have been the most successful, right? That's, I think one thing I think it's lost is you don't need a massive display to have massive impact. So,
I mean, think about those rolling banana trees that are almost at every store that move from the registers to the cereal aisle. I mean, how impactful are those? And that's just a rolling banana tree. And so exactly your point.
Sell 3 or 4 more cases a week, just simply by being in a banana. In an aisle and on your cereal aisle on a banana tree.
Yep.
I mean, what is that per year, right? So, And that's all found sales.
Well, Brian, we've really enjoyed chatting with you today. Wish you the most and happy holidays to you. I'm sure a lot of your customers are going to be excited to see you coming in over the next several weeks and setting them up for success. So thank you. And we will be talking to you again soon.
Thanks, guys. Really appreciate the opportunity.
No, I appreciate it, Brian. I look forward to it. I got some, we're recording this earlier in the week, I have some of my other buddies and sponsors out seeing you today. The Empower Fresh Group, they're out there. And I know I told them to make sure you go say hi to Brian, but I think you were busy, so you weren't able to do that. But I appreciate everything that you're doing. I love seeing the sponsors that we have and you bringing their product to life. So thank you so much. And again, look forward to, you know, meeting you in person and seeing you at one of the shows or up there in your neck of the woods one day.
Right on, man. I look forward to that, brother.
If you're not following Brian on LinkedIn to see his wonderful displays, make sure you give him a follow. So
thanks, guys.
I agree with that. Ross, another good one you lined up, man. I appreciate it. And Fresh from the Field Fridays, as we say, like, can't get better than that.
I think we did all right. Hopefully Dan's happy with us and is enjoying his birthday week. So shout out to Dan. Happy birthday to you this week. And we'll have him back here very soon. Don't worry. Dan will be back.
All right. Well, listen, it's goodbye from me, Patrick Kelly.
All right, everybody. Thanks for being with us on Fresh from the Field Fridays. Ross, the Produce Boss here. You can find me on LinkedIn, Instagram, YouTube, all sorts of things, trying to represent the industry, put different tidbits out there, and I look for you each Friday listening here. Subscribe, listen, give us a review. We appreciate it.